This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 138, recorded on October 6th, 2013. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we post the show with world-class show notes, and those are world-class now. I spend a lot of time on those each week out at TheAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions for the show, you can contact me via email, podcast@TheAverageGuy.tv. Again, I'm getting a couple of those a week, and I appreciate you guys giving me some feedback, all very nice. You can just send me that email, podcast@TheAverageGuy.tv. You can find me on Twitter at Jay Collison or follow the show schedule on Twitter at TheAverageGuy.tv. You can also join us for live chat during the live show over at TheAverageGuy.tv/live, right next to the live stream window, and we'd love to have you join us via tablet or mobile device, as well as we're now streaming both low and mid bandwidth options via live stream, so give that a try if you'd like. We also have a new YouTube Hangout high bandwidth option as well. Upper right-hand corner over at TheAverageGuy.tv. All right, we are off schedule a little bit for Home Tech, and we're actually recording this on Sunday night, October 6th, and we'll release it actually next weekend. If you're listening to the recorded version of this, you really don't care, but if the folks that have joined us live or are watching this during the middle of the week may wonder, why are they doing a podcast on Saturday and not on Thursdays? Well, it's all because I can't get Kyle on Thursday nights. Kyle Wilcox, how are you doing?
I'm good.
And Kyle, you're working Thursday nights. That's the deal, right?
Pretty much every Thursday, yeah.
And you've gotten a chance to be on the show a couple times last couple weeks. Best Buy mobile guy. You work in one of their mobile stores. You're all thing phone. And we appreciate you coming on and being a part of the show tonight. Welcome.
Yep, thanks.
Also introduced Mike Howard. He's all things behind JPEG to RAW over at jpegtoraw.com. Photography guy and a huge following on YouTube with his photography podcast. Mike Howard, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's not that huge.
Oh, it's growing. You remind me every couple of days.
Jim and I have a nice competition going on, and we like to rub those kind of things in each other, tell each other about those things to encourage each other. I want Jim to do good too, just one less than me.
Yes. Yes, it's a nice rivalry. You always, when you're doing these kinds of things, Mike, we've known each other a couple years now, 3 years. And when we both got into the podcasting area, we quickly realized we had a lot of the same goals. So we helped each other out with a lot of stuff. But you're absolutely right. We do get very competitive at times. Yeah. And I clean your clock when it comes to Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, so if you the Tech Scholarship Fund is going very, very well, and the reason I bring that up now is because actually Kyle took advantage of the Tech Scholarship Fund. That's kind of why he's reviewing this. He came to me and said, "Hey, I'd like to review this kind of Android device," and we purchased that for him, and it was shipped to him. And so, if you're interested in testing something out, the way the Tech Scholarship Fund works is this: you let me know. Generally, we look for devices about $100 or so, $100 or less. I'll buy it, have it shipped to you. It's really easiest for U.S. residents. It gets harder when we get overseas. I didn't make it work for John Zadler, but it gets difficult if we're trying to ship stuff overseas. You review it, couple posts, join me on the show, and you get to keep it. So it sounds pretty cool. I mentioned on the last show, we want to thank Jim, a listener. He gave us a big donation, just decided to say, I'm not going to mess around with the Amazon link, which is theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. Anything you buy on Amazon, then we take that commission and put it in the scholarship fund and turn it around for these kind of things. Jim just donated right to the program, and you can do that as well. theaverageguy.tv/donation, or just look for the donation link at the top of the page. So, Kyle, we had this, so it's called the TronSmart MX908 there that you're showing. And let me switch the screen to you real quick so everybody can see that. Yeah, just hold that up. So a pretty small little device. It actually came, I think it came straight from China, right? Yep. We ordered it and came in a funky bag. Let's back up a little bit. Why that device? What were you thinking when we ordered that?
Yeah, so, I heard about the Tech Scholarship thing, which I think is a great idea and a great program, and I encourage anybody else to jump on that, and thanks to Jim for doing that. I guess the main thing is I'm always looking for interesting ways to use technology, new things we can do and stuff. And for my family, I have my parents, both my parents, and then my two younger brothers that they're pretty younger than I am. So they're, one of them's in eighth grade and the other one's like in fifth grade. So there's kind of, I'm the oldest and there's the one in like fifth grade is the youngest. So there's a pretty wide span there. And they're all four of them share one desktop computer. So that's pretty, that's kind of hard to do when they're all in school, all doing different jobs and everything like that. And also it's like that computer's from when we buy that 2008 or I don't know, something. Mm-hmm. It's some Pentium old computer. And they always manage to click on things that offer them free cloud and, you know, and then that ends up giving them more viruses and whatever. So their computer situation isn't that great. But the reason that interested me is my brother is completely involved in everything Google Apps. Just every school he's been to has been Google Apps. This is where you do your work. This is where you turn it in online, everything like that. And I, so I thought, how can I get him a computing device that he can't mess up? What can we do to help him, give him another option, and how can we do it for something that's not $300 to build him a separate computer? And that's where the idea of an Android PC came up. And I'd really like to look at Linux, too. And there are some ways to kind of hack Linux onto this thing, but it's still in development, I guess, on that. And there are other devices that are similar that are a little bit more expensive that have Linux out of the box, so...
Kyle, how much did we pay for that? Do you remember? Was it 79?
It was like 65-ish, something like that.
65.
That was they called that the sale price. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the regular price.
It came from China. You know, so. who knows what the real price is? We paid 65 for it.
And that thing you're holding up is the computer?
This is it. This has... You want me to go over specs right now?
Or? Yeah, why don't you go ahead and cover that? You bet.
So what's in this little tiny box, which, I mean, a lot of people call them like a USB dongle or... you know, about the size of a USB flash drive. It's bigger than a USB flash drive, but it has a quad core processor, so it's going to be similar to like what you'd see on an Android tablet. So a quad core processor. It has 2 gigabytes of RAM. It has 8 gigabytes of storage, and then it runs Android. So instead of having a tablet or a phone that has Android in the screen, touch screen built in, you got to connect your own screen. But other than that, it's a functioning Android device. And then we have mini USB or mini HDMI on the bottom here for that. And then micro SD card slot over here. And then we have a regular USB port, full size. This USB port here is a mini USB, and it's only for charging, to my knowledge. And then this is the interesting one on the side here. This one is an USB OTG, which OTG stands for something on USB on, is it on the go maybe? I don't know, something like that. And what you can do is you can use that to plug this handy adapter in, which is mini USB, and then you get a second full-size USB port. The other thing it lets you do is you could plug in a cable just like you would plug your phone or your tablet in and then plug into the computer, and that way you could transfer files back and forth just like you would interact with a regular Android device on a computer. So that's kind of the device. There's kind of tiny little vents you can see here for heat. Has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
Wow. Built onto it. OTG stands for, you're right, it's called USB on the go. And it says it's a specification that allows USB devices such as digital audio players or mobile phones to act as a host, allowing other USB devices like a USB flash drive, digital camera, mouse, or keyboard to be attached to them. Unlike conventional USB systems, USB OTG systems can drop the hosting role and act as a normal USB device when attached to another host. This can be used to allow a mobile phone to act as a host for a flash drive and read its contents, downloading music, for instance, but then act as a flash drive when plugged into a host computer and allow the host to read the data from the device. So it's like a two-way USB. It's kind of the way to – it can be both host and guest through the one device. Kyle, that's a lot of stuff in that little device.
Yeah, it is. It has a ton of things in, and I'm not the hacker type, but I'm there are people working on putting Android and it does come rooted, so you have that ability to, and if you're familiar with Android rooting, a lot of people are doing that on their Android phones and tablets, so that allows you more flexibility over the kernel and on the ROM that's on there, so you could put somebody else's custom Android firmware on it. And I haven't gotten to that point on this device yet, but that's a possibility. And some people are working on getting the the Linux, any certain kinds of Linux, whether it be a version of Ubuntu or whatever, and that requires an update from, or from what I've read, they're needing some help from the manufacturer of the processor. It's a Rockchip 3188 or something, and they gotta get some more coming from that. At least that was what when we first got it, that's where it was at. So they're working on updating that, and it might be updated by the time you listen to this. So
kind of a fully hackable device. I mean, this is really a lot like a Raspberry Pi in the sense that it's although it's a really complete implementation of that, wouldn't you say?
Right. Yeah. So with the Raspberry Pi, you gotta bring all the other stuff. The Raspberry Pi doesn't even have a case. And I think another thing you were at the beginning, you had asked me about, like, how did I get interested in this and the story with my family, but also recently that Raspberry Pi has popped up on the scene, and we've discussed that before. And that's a pretty cool initiative that they're doing. I think there's probably going to be, that has a lot more support. As far as it's a bigger device, whereas there's basically hundreds of models of these types of devices, and so not all of them, the community support is divided among all of them, where the Raspberry Pi is maybe a more specific unit. And there's other similar things to Raspberry Pi too, but some of those ones that get a bigger name get more publicity out there and have more developer support. But yeah, this one's.
So have your brothers started using it yet?
No, because I got, like, they're in a separate household, so I got to mail it to them still. So I haven't gotten, that's going to be the real test, yeah. So,
Cal, did you get it to a place where you feel like you answered that question? Can they use it as a PC replacement? Does it? I assume it's running Jelly Bean 4.2?
Two.
Two?
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, I did, it did take me a while to get used to, and I think that lots of kids would just jump into it a little bit easier. And for me, I have a desktop, so it's in the two articles I wrote, we talked about desktop replacement. Well, I have a desktop, so I'm not needing to use it all the time just for that. So it's going to be passing it on to them and seeing how they use it. But I was able to sit down and I was typing a paper doing some research and stuff. And I was able to type and get thoughts down and use it.
So what did you use? Okay, so you're in Jelly Bean. And what would you use say the kids need to write a paper, right, or something? What would you use? Google Docs?
The Google Drive. Google Docs within the Google Drive app just lets you type right there. And so that's what I was using. Yep.
So you actually downloaded the Google Drive app for Android.
Yep.
So you're able to get the Android store.
Yep.
You're able to get all the apps that come with Android then.
Yep.
So you've got the whole million whatever apps that are available out there.
Yep.
And so you go to Drive and you could use Sheets or you could use, and I forget what their spreadsheet implementation is called.
Yeah, what are all those apps?
It's called Sheets or something.
Yeah. Well, Sheets is, it doesn't matter. The point is you can get to everything that's available in the Docs implementation.
Yeah, and you know what I should have tried, and I really need to go back, and is the whatever their PowerPoint replacement is, Presenter or something.
Presentation.
Because I would assume that at some point my brother's going to need to create a presentation to give to class for some project for history or something. So, I should have tested that one too to see how that went.
Well, you still have it.
You said it has 2 gig of RAM, right? 2 gig of RAM?
Yeah. Yep.
Which is, I don't know, what are the tablets running, like the Nexus 7 or something like that? They're not running much more than that, if that.
Yeah, I think 2 gig is the high end right now. I think only two devices have more than that, which is the Galaxy Note 3, which came out 2 days ago, and the Galaxy Tab 10.1 2014 edition, which is on pre-order now, or is it just came out? So, yeah, there's two devices on Android that have more than that I know of.
So, Kyle, in your opinion, is this more like a phone or more like a tablet you were to kind of compare it to the two?
Yeah, it's more like a tablet. And the interface, too. And that's another thing that I'm not a big fan of a lot of the Android tablet interfaces because some of the tablets, I don't know if people are going to be able to understand what I'm saying on this.
Yeah,
but
keep going with it.
On Android, a lot of the Android tablets, the back arrow, the home key, and the multitasking window, which is the three keys for soft keys for Android are on the left, and then the notification panel is on the right hand, the bottom right hand side. Both of those are across the bottom. Whereas most people that are used to Android on a phone are used to having those keys in the middle, and then the top you drag down with your finger to get to the notifications and the settings. I just hate the implementation of the tablet side where the notifications are on the bottom right, because to get to settings it's like two clicks instead of just one. And some of the newer tablets have gone away from that. I have a Nexus 7 that I just got, and that one is one where you can slide your finger down from the top and kind of works more like a phone. And some of the newer Samsung tablets let you do that too, which is, in my opinion, way better than having to deal with that in the bottom right-hand corner. So this one does use that older implementation. Even though it's 4.2 Jelly Bean, I'm not sure if those are manufacturer choices or what the difference is with the different Google versions determine that. But, yeah, it's kind of weird that that's down there. But, yeah.
Kyle, when we first started looking at this, I couldn't remember with why we didn't go with Amazon. It wasn't there or it wasn't available yet, but now I'm looking on Amazon and they're showing a Tronsmart MK908. This says Android 4.1 mini PC TV box RK3188 quad core. Same, looks like it's the same exact thing that you have there. I thought we went out and looked, so this might just be newly available on Amazon as well. $69.96.
Okay. Well, whenever we looked between Newegg, Amazon, and this Geekbind where we ended up getting it from, and I think it was like, it was also on, I think it was on Amazon, or I think it was on Newegg also, but it was like $30 more.
Yeah, something like that. Well, the Amazon implementation of it now is down on Prime to $69.96, so yep. about what we paid for it. We'll drop that link in the show notes for folks if they want to go out and take a peek at that. Let me see if I can get an easy link to throw in the chat. Mike, any questions on that?
Yeah, what I'd be interested in is if you can get Linux on it later on, because with 2 gig of RAM, that should be enough.
Yep.
And I wonder, could you boot off the USB? I don't know if you've tried
The micro. I think you would want to use the micro SD card slot. I think you can do some stuff with that, which is similar to a Raspberry Pi. That's how those boot. Is whatever SD card you throw in there.
Yeah, because I don't know if you could put like all of Ubuntu on there. I don't know what Ubuntu may be a little too heavy for it, but there's some lighter. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they call it Pikuntu or something like that.
There's a lot of different variations. I've even tried something called Puppy Linux, which is a real light version of it. But you know,
now what are you trying to use that for, Mike? I mean, what's the advantage to that for you?
Well.
Or you just messing around?
Just messing around with it. Because I guess as long as you get a browser, you might even be able to play some light games online, too, with that. You can definitely, as long as you have a browser, you'd have that on the Android side. I think with 2 gig of RAM, you'll be able to do all those Google Docs, even the presentation.
I think so.
Yeah.
The idea of Linux is just to give it more of a desktop feel,
right.
I think, and maybe make it easier for people to get to work. And do things.
When you had Android running, and yeah, I assume you hooked keyboard and mouse to it and a monitor,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And that thing would be so easy to just tape on the monitor behind the,
yep.
right?
Absolutely, yep.
Or whatever you decide to do. Does the mouse work?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. The left click is like your tap in Android, and then the right click is your back button. So actually, that's very convenient. Now, when you first start using it, you right-click and you think you're going to get a context menu like you would in Windows, and you go back and you're like, oh, man, that's a bummer. But instead, you know, on a tablet or a phone, you have to keep reaching to the back button. But on this, it's just a right-click and you're done, and you go back one. And then now in Windows 8, every time I bring up the Metro side, I always get the right-click to see if I'm going to go back, because I just got used to doing that on this thing. And I'm like, man, maybe Microsoft should try that, because it's super convenient.
Especially on a tablet. Yeah. We just a reminder, if you're watching us on Google Plus or on the YouTube implementation, well, it would just be Google Plus in this case. We have the opportunity for you to ask a question. If you've got a question for Kyle on this, we'd love you to do that. We did get one question, Kyle, and from George. He said, is there a muffin button? I think he's just messing with us, so we're going to let that one go. George, thank you for, we were talking about this Q&A on Google Plus earlier.
I think that's
and, Yeah, you run the risk of getting some spam. But I thought I'd give George a little bit of run. No muffin button on there? No.
There's a reset button. I don't know if okay.
Maybe that's what he meant. Now, reset sets it. It's a factory reset button that you can, if all goes awry, you can just hold that down and power it up.
I haven't pushed it yet because I don't want to find out.
I assume that's going to be factory reset, I'm sure.
Well, and it also has something to do with like Mike was talking about with booting it back up into a different operating system, and they use that for flashing whatever they do over to it. So
yeah.
I don't want to brick it, so I've kind of stopped on the
You've been gentle with it a little bit. Yeah. I am seeing on Amazon they are selling that through Geek Buying, which is I think what we bought it through.
Yeah. So they're just partnering with them.
Looks like it.
I've always thought about before having a computer. You know, you can have something in the kitchen, which I guess the tablets have kind of reduced the need for this. But, you know, in the past, I've thought about having a guest computer when guests come over, that all it was a browser, not for them to do anything else other than a browser, and just be a monitor and whatever, like keyboard, and maybe something in the kitchen like that for my wife to use when she's looking up, recipes or using a recipe or something like that. I mean, tablets have kind of lessened the need for that thing, although I wanted to use some old stuff I had lying around. It seems like this might be a viable option where you could just, all you need is a monitor. And plug
fairly inexpensive one too, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
HDMI, the only option, right, for, and is that, it's a full HDMI port or mini?
It's a mini, and that's the thing I said in the reviews. It's a mini HDMI, and then the USBs are mini, which those aren't commonly used anymore, but it came with everything in the box, and then even the mini HDMI cable. So, yeah, would have been maybe more convenient if it was the standardized micro on both of those? Maybe, but they gave you everything in the box, so you're still getting it.
You can get a converter. You can get a converter HDMI to VGA also if your monitor isn't HDMI.
Yep.
Can you run video? So those little USB monitors that they put out now that, you know, you would plug on to, that you'd add in and, you know, make a third, maybe little monitor, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you think it would run on that?
I doubt it. Okay. But I don't really know.
Yeah. Didn't try that. Any so there's any community that you had access to around this? Did you try and track down a user community?
Yeah, there are some good links and sites, and let me see if I can pop over and pull one.
Yeah, while you're looking for that, other Jim in chat had said, you said Wi-Fi, does it have Bluetooth as well? And that answer would be yes, right?
Yep.
And so that
worked pretty good. And
Bluetooth keyboard, then, I imagine.
Yeah, you could use that. I don't have a Bluetooth keyboard, but I use that for my audio, which one of my new favorite device, which I think I might have showed on the last podcast, mm-hmm. is my Bluetooth speaker.
Put that in the camera so we can see it there.
Is that?
Yeah, there you go.
So my particular one also has a built-in headphone jack, so I can plug in or go Bluetooth, and then it charges off a micro USB.
Now, that's a JBL. What's the model on that?
It's called a Flip or something like that. Micro Flip or something. And then there's a big, they make them in all sizes. There's a bigger one. This thing is awesome. And the audio worked great coming out of this, connected to Bluetooth.
$40? Wow. For that?
Yep. So that little sounds speaker? About right. Yep.
And so that and gets you, so you recommend, I mean, that it fills a room?
This one will, depending on how big your room is. And there are other models too. I think there's the other one is the called like the HDX Jam. Is another company that makes those, and that one's in the same price range and about the same size, and that one's even louder. So there's a Google Plus community Google Plus community that's pretty good about these devices, and I can drop that into our chat. Maybe you can. I don't have the average guy that.
Yeah, that's chat open. No. You're. Oh yeah.
If you put it there, yeah. I'll post it in chat. If you put it up here.
Perfect.
Mike, that you got way, it.
Yep.
I got and it. Then. Okay. So that community was pretty good, and I actually posted when I put my articles over there, and they pointed me to...
I should have opened a show notes doc for this thing, as many links as we have. I'll have to copy and paste I shouldn't have pasted that in so early. I'll have to copy and paste the chat, so I've got it for the show notes.
There's a couple of cool websites. One's called Little Pewding or something like that. There's one. I think I got this one.
Did you use them?
Yeah, I checked them out, and they were really a lot of them. A lot of them I used in the research stage when I was trying to figure out what device to buy. And then this other link I'm throwing in here, that one is a forum where they had like, and they do all devices. It's called FreakTab and FreakTab.com. And that specific link takes you to how to get the ROMs and stuff for the TronSmart. And they have all the other mini PCs there too.
Very cool.
So they're little Pewding, and there's another one, mini PC something. One of the guys that he's on, one guy on YouTube is called Some Cool Tech, and he has like 2 million views, and he just does reviews like crazy on these things. And I'll post that one too. But yeah, I watched many of his reviews before I picked a device, and that's where I would really learn the most, was just watching on YouTube and seeing what other people were doing. So this guy, whoever he is, Some Cool Tech, and he has tons of views. I don't even know if it says how many he has, but
so Kyle, other Jim asks another great question. He says, so not all listeners will have used an Android tablet before. Beyond the Google productivity and music, what else is out of the box easy on an Android tablet, you think?
A lot of people are using it as a media device, almost like a set-top box. That's what they use the Android devices for. And I am not a very big media guy, and so I need to. And one guy did ask a question on one of the articles, so I am going to try to set up some kind of streaming, but a lot of them do set up a streaming solution from a Windows Home server or some kind of NAS or their Windows computer, and then stream to this at their computer. Because obviously, you could, like you said, you can just tape this almost to the back of your.
Yeah, screen. And I assume you use the Chrome browser on there. You installed the Chrome browser.
It comes with the Chrome. It might come with another one. I think it comes with both.
I just got my phone out. I'm thinking, well, it's the same thing. I should just be checking what I use on my phone, right?
Yeah. Pretty much any app you can put on your phone from an entertainment standpoint. Now, there was some question about whether Hulu would work, and I think Hulu did not, but Netflix does. And I don't have subscription to those guys either. So, and I like that one guy that asked that question on one of the articles. I want to get back with him when I get a chance to get up some kind of streaming. And we tried to do that at the meetup, but there was too much network.
There was just so many. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Now, is there any way to reproduce the touchscreen? I mean, does that thing come with touchscreen? The software, is it touchscreen aware?
Android is by default, right? I mean, But can a monitor pass the touch functionality through the HDMI cable?
That's a great question. I think it can. But that'd be something I've never tried before. Maybe we can get some feedback from, if you're listening to this, head over to theaverageguy.tv on the post and in the comments section, let us know, or send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, and let us know. That'd be cool if it could. That's why I was hoping on that USB monitor deal, maybe the touch would pass through the USB.
Yeah, of course you could, do Pandora, that kind of thing too.
Yep.
Have it as a little Pandora machine.
Yeah. I was just going through my apps
Of course, everything has Pandora on it, but this would just be another thing you could have Pandora on.
Right. That's why a lot of guys are tinkering for as media devices. It's just they can just, instead of buying the Roku or whatever, they know they're getting Android, and so they know that they're going to continually be able to develop all kinds of stuff for it.
Might be interesting to see also if you get a camera working off of it as well, right? So you can do some Skype.
I think some people have done that too.
Okay. Yeah, so. I imagine you can hack something via USB.
A USB connection. You could hook up a USB camera, I would imagine.
And some guys are pretty big into Android gaming, and so they're doing a lot, even like pretty graphics-intensive gaming.
Like Angry Birds.
You can do that, but I don't know if that's the most
one of the many
video game. But
so
first-person shooters, and you can connect game Android controllers, so like you have a game controller to it, and you can connect. A lot of them are pretty popular to have, kind of almost like a Wii remote, where you just kind of an air remote,
so
you can point it at the screen and move around your mouse, and so it gives a better for that 10-foot experience is better. when you're putting it on a TV.
There are some of those pads that act as if you were touching a monitor, but you're touching the pad. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Have y'all seen those?
Yep. Like a trackpad.
Yeah, artists use them. They're the big.
Like what the artists use? Yeah, I'm not talking about that. No, that's, you know, I have one of those here for editing photos, but I'm talking more like maybe it's, you know, smaller than one of those things are, but it's used as multi-touch aware, and it's used for when you can't touch your desktop monitor, you use that. So like with Windows 8, I wonder if that would work with this in place of getting a monitor that's touchscreen.
Yeah, it's a good question. I go back to Big Jim. I almost called him Big Jim. I've been watching Under the Dome too much. Other Jim had asked about that keyboard or using a Bluetooth keyboard. And just a little bit of update. I think I mentioned this before, but, you know, Dave gave me, and let me find that link. So Dave gave me the Microsoft PL2 Wedge mobile Bluetooth keyboard. And I put a link for that in chat. We'll include that in the show notes. And I've actually, that thing attaches super simple to my phone. And I'm getting ready to go to California tomorrow. I'll be out for the week. And I plan tomorrow morning on the plane, log in. I'm going to buy Wi-Fi. I'm going to use is my Android phone and that keyboard. I'm going to see how productive I can be. You know, because I open up my big old laptop on the plane, and it's just too, even in a 15-inch monitor, it's too big. And you know, you're cramped in there and all that other stuff. So I'm going to give that a whirl. You know, it comes with a cover that goes over the top. And when you pull the cover off, it automatically turns the thing on. And when you put the cover on, it automatically turns it off. And it in itself bends to create a very, very portable stand for your phone. So I'll bend that in a tent, throw the phone on there, pull the keyboard out. And my intent is to see how productive I can be from Omaha to Las Vegas. That's our layover. It's a tough layover in Las Vegas. So what are you showing there, Mike?
I have this little keyboard. So it looks like this, and you, boom, flip that open.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little backlit keyboard with a mouse right here.
Yeah.
Logitech, it's Bluetooth, so I connected it to my phone. So I'm sure you can connect it to that thing.
What's the number on that? My other Jim, he said a Logitech T650. Is that a
similar? See, you know, I looked for what the name of this was the other day when you and I were talking, and I couldn't find it. I know that what's funny is when you buy these little things like this, you often see them on a TV show. So 24, remember the show 24?
Yeah.
They pulled this thing out as some high-tech little device that they were doing all kind of work on it. And, it's, you know, it really was just this little Lenovo... Logitech keyboard and mouse, but they were acting like it was a whole computer and they were doing stuff with it on TV. That's cool. And if you ever watch the show, go ahead.
Oh, other Jim says that T650 is a wireless trackpad.
Yeah, I have to look up what this is as we keep talking.
But Kyle, I think that highlights just how some of these peripherals have come along, Bluetooth, that you could pair with that and do some cool stuff with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, and at the price point, it's you know, what did you say, under $70, right?
Yeah, $70. It's the Microsoft keyboard is more expensive than this device. It's $69. Yeah,
the peripherals you're going to buy for it are going to be more expensive than the device itself.
Yeah. No, right on. Yep. Right on.
And having that low cost of entry, that's the thing that is, because if you compare it to an Android tablet, say, you know, the cost of entry is lower, but you do already have to have your own monitor. So if you need to deploy it and be an all-in-one, and you add the cost of a monitor in there, well, then you're like, well, that's closer. But if you already, like, so for my brother, well, they have a TV that's, you know, he can turn off the TV and start doing his homework, you know, and then separate with the computer. So, you know, in a situation like that, and I was kind of thinking, you know, when we were talking about putting this in education, well, would you just put these in classrooms or something? Well, the school has to pay for a monitor anyways. They can probably buy an Android tablet or something that would do the same sort of thing.
Or Chromebook.
The screen. Yeah, or Chromebook or any alternate device, you know. So buying them in mass for a school or something, I'm not sure there's the savings, but for a family or somebody that just has, they have extra monitors sitting around, you can just connect them and you're good to go. So that's the thing you got to think about in the cost, as we see. I mean, even the Kindle Fire now is down to $139. So that's crazy.
Well, think of a mass produced and then maybe like Raspberry Pi pricing. So if you get them $35 or $40 each, you might have a real, you know, a real chance at making them a popular item at that price point. Instant on. So when you, I was thinking, you know, I have a little Bluetooth receiver for my car that plugs right into the audio aux port. And when I turn the, you know, it's plugged in through the power outlet. That's you. I've got a USB adapter in there. And so when I turn the car on, that receiver, that USB receiver, takes about 2 seconds. It beeps and then it connects to my phone. And I, that's how I play audio through my phone. Is this a similar kind of device? If when I just plug it in, does it instantly? You know, and I use the term instant loosely.
No, it,
but it pretty it much instant
up.
On?
No, it boots up like an Android tablet or an Android phone. Okay. So yeah, it's I mean probably under 30 seconds, but yeah, it's gonna
still
boot
takes
up.
A while.
Yeah, it's
right.
gonna boot up like an Android. It's any Android device.
So on your phone, when you're booting, when it's booting up, and they show you, I use Sprint. So they first show the Samsung logo, and then they show the Sprint logo. They're just hiding everything that's going on behind the scenes, right?
This thing, I think it does say TronSmart when it boots up, and then it says Android or something like that. So yeah, it has a logo that pops up and everything, and then it brings you to your desktop.
The only reason I ask is because it would make it nice. You know, I've always thought about, I've got this extra Android phone now that I use kind of as a backup, and it'd be great to just mount it in the car and have it there all the time. The problem is I live in Nebraska. It gets really, really cold, and cell phone screens are not industrial quality. You know, anytime they put any kind of electronics in a car, those electronics have to pass certain hot and cold standards, right? Yep. And the phones don't do that. That's expensive stuff. That's why those navigation devices always cost so much. They got to be able to withstand 40 below, you know, or 150 degrees that can, you know, can get hot, that hot inside a car and not melt the electronic devices. But the idea is still the same. Could you take this device and get an industrial, you know, maybe hack into your car's nav and get Android running in your car? That would be, I mean, that would be pretty cool if you could do that.
I'm sure somebody's working on that somewhere.
Yeah.
Some guy on YouTube has a post of how he did that.
I want to be able to watch YouTube videos as I'm driving down the road.
Oh, well, yeah, we shouldn't do that. But but you could have a Google Hangout. That'd be okay. You know, it'd be really cool if there was a... if the camera was on the... If you could mount that inside the rearview mirror... pointing at the driver, and then maybe even a heads-up display, a clear see-through heads-up display on your windshield. That's the Hangout, right? So you can look through through the Hangout, not be distracted, because that's not distracting at all.
Now, I think that's an add-on peripheral for the thing that Kyle bought. Like, it didn't come standard with that. You're gonna have to add that on.
Yeah, exactly, a heads-up display. So, Kyle, what else?
Not included for $65.
No. We're the part of the show that's ridiculous. Well, Kyle, anything else on there you want to highlight? I think, or Mike, any questions that you might have?
Well, it does come built in with some of that media streaming type stuff. And I should say too, you can put Plex on it, just like you would put Plex on your Android device. And then you can put both editions of XBMC. So you can put the server and the client version of XBMC on it.
Hey, while you're mentioning XBMC, let me highlight one of our listeners, because he just sent me a note. His name is Ben, and I didn't ask him to say his last name, so I'll leave that off. But it says, my name's Ben, and I'm from New Zealand, so great to have some New Zealand listeners out there. He says, I've been listening to your podcast, Home Server Show, and Surface Geeks for about 6 months now, and I guess you could call this fan mail. So it's always good to read, you know, this kind of stuff. He says, I implemented an N40L with Windows Home Server 2011 and DriveBender not long after starting to listen. Most people do. That's the problem with listening to these kinds of podcasts. You get sucked into these things. He said, I heard you mention Plex on the Home Server Show this week, and Dave talked about its lack of live TV. So I thought I'd tell you about my latest home project. I've been running XBMC on a Raspberry Pi for a while now, and I've been trying out a few backends for the built-in PVR/live TV functionality. I've ended up settling on a TV head end running on an Ubuntu virtual machine on my N40L using the VMware player. The time shifting still has some glitches I need to fix, but the live TV and the recorder works so well. Channel changing is nice and fast. I'm planning on building an HTPC next, because the Raspberry Pi is quite slow through the menus. Plus, XBMC has some amazing skins that make the live TV experience great and turnable. Anyway, or tunable, I guess is what it should be. Anyway, just wanted to tell you about the nice XBMC tell you that since XBMC is quite similar to Plex, you can also access a Plex server through an add-on called Plex BMC. So there's some Plex, yeah, BMC. Thanks, Jim. Love the shows and the network of podcasts. Also, it was cool to hear you're involved in your local church, as I am as well. So, Ben, thanks for the note. So it's funny that you mentioned that, Kyle, XBMC, Plex, that's all something that could work on that device as well.
Yep. Yeah, and that's, and I think when one of the podcasts, was it Home Service Show, I think had somebody, no, maybe it was BYOB, they had the, anyway, somebody had the people who were founding Plex on, right, or who created it, and it's technically an offshoot of XBMC, if I remember right, or something there, but.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
some connection there, but yeah. That, what he's talking about with that DVR capability, that would be, I would love to have that because, like, I just missed the Broncos Peyton Manning game, you know. I would have liked to have delayed that for a couple hours and then just, I have it recorded. And I know you can do that with, like, everybody's using those HD home runs, and that would be awesome, too. But another option to use some sort of Plex or then the next step up is to do what Christian does and be able to get it everywhere in the world. So I have to figure out that. But. Mm-hmm.
John Zadler, diehard out there, says I'm running Plex server on my Windows Home Server version 1 and accessing it with his iPod Touch, doing it that way. Yeah, you know, I tried Plex. Actually, Plex is available for the Drobo as well. The new Drobo 5N has apps on it, and there is a, as soon as I bought it, they made a Plex app available for it. Spent a couple hours on it, and then I've just never got back to it. My problem is Windows Media Center works so well for me with those HD home runs. Today, I was spending a lot of time editing podcasts. I had a couple to do, my own and another one that I do. And so what I was watching the Chiefs Titans game, and so I would push pause. I would do some editing, right? And then I would get to a break in the editing, and I'd go to the screen, and I would watch a play, and then the fast forward on Media Center is like 30 seconds, and so then that's about there's a 30 second clock right in the NFL, and it's about 30 seconds between plays, so you can go play, right? And it's just like watching, you get to watch the game, but you don't have to watch any of the other crap that goes with it. You don't have to wait. So I watched that Titans game and the Chiefs Titans games, which, by the way, the Chiefs are 5-0. It's amazing. I watched that thing in about an hour,
Yeah. As a Raider fan, Denver and Kansas City being good is not good for me.
Not good for the Raiders at all. No, but Kyle, you're right. That would be cool. Now, how would you overcome the storage problem? I mean, you only have 8 gig, and you're going to run out of space pretty fast if you're recording to that thing.
I don't think this device would. I don't know if you could record to this with whatever kind of thing he was talking about there. I think you would have to use this as the client to access the recording.
Okay.
And might have to attach. Now you could. You could plug a 300 gig or a terabyte USB 2.5 inch portable drive into this, and I think it would read that.
To the drive.
I think so. And then the micro SD card, I think, supports up to 64 gigs. So that might not be enough to keep a collection, but 64 gigs should let you hold one or two football games just to skip commercials and then delete them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So I don't know if Android can do live TV recording. Somebody out there probably does.
But if you hacked XBMC on there.
If you put a full version of XBMC or whatever.
You could get one of those cheap, since it's just USB 2, you could get a cheap 64 gig USB flash drive or whatever, 128. Those are getting pretty inexpensive, and use the flash drive as the storage for it, and probably be able to record 20-25 hours maybe with that size. It depends on at what quality you're recording at.
And I should say, too, this supports adding USB hubs. So you can connect more devices than just the two. So you could have one being a hub here. I mean, you could have the OGT go to your computer for access that way. You could put the main one go into a hub. And then what some guys have done is they have it powered off the hub, too. I think I heard this from John Zadler, is take the cable out of the hub and put it into the power. And then you're doing everything off that hub, and then whatever 8 or however many USB ports you're adding on there can connect multiple devices that way.
We need to get you some earbuds so those things stay in your ears.
Yeah. Well, I get annoyed by them being in one ear, so I'm usually alternating so that I don't have to one ear. But
well, they're probably not as comfortable as these earbuds, and maybe that will be another tech scholarship item for you, Kyle. And they are the only way to podcast or to listen to music. You know, tomorrow I'll be on a plane all day, and I'll wear these things, you know, throughout the morning of the flights. And I've podcasted 6-7 hours at a time, and they are fantastic. Earbuds, YURBUDS. So we all wear them. So we'll have to get you a pair.
I'll build a whole podcasting studio based on donations.
Oh, maybe we can find you a. I love it because you're a young, inspired tech guy. You know, you're. I remember those days. Except I was married and young and poor all at the same time in those early days, and I remember having nothing. I mean, I just no tech. I couldn't afford anything. Everything if I got it, I got out of a dumpster. You know, I would go by tech stores and look in their dumpsters and stuff to try and find stuff that I could mess around on. And one of the advantages is I worked at Computer Renaissance back in 1998 for a year, and you know they bought and sold new and used computer equipment, and we'd have folks come in with their computers to trade them in, and they were so old at the time, you know, we'd be like, it'd be like 286s, you know, and you'd be like, we really can't do anything with that, and they'd be like, well, can you just recycle them? And I would be like, yeah, I'll recycle them to my house. And I had a bunch of old crappy equipment, but that's for the first couple of years, that's all I learned on. I just took every piece of equipment I could get my hands on, including an old BNC networking. I got a couple BNC networking cards and hooked those together, you know, with terminators and all that good stuff. And that's how I learned networking. So, you know, it's, I know you hate it because you would rather be able to buy a lot of this stuff and you can't, it does. Yeah, it does for sure. So your day will come. Keep struggling.
So I didn't get married until I was in my later 20s. So getting out of college, you know, I didn't have the wife, so I was able to buy some of those. Now, you know, speaking of Kyle, I don't know if it's your wife or your girlfriend or whatever it is. She designed your little logo there, which I don't know how well y'all can see. That is fantastic. So as we're talking about marriage, I just wanted to point that out.
Yes, that's my wife is a very excellent graphic designer, and
yes,
I will throw her website into. I was going to mention that too because we talked about it at the meetup, and her website is reneewilcox.com, and she has all of her.
Make sure that makes it into. Yeah, let me put that in this chat here too because I'm going to just copy that. Yeah, and she does freelance stuff. I'm going to need some.
Yeah, she has about 3 jobs and 5 classes right now. So
yeah,
she's right over there doing a painting actually.
So. Awesome. Yeah,
I need a logo. Tell her I need a logo for my JPEG to RAW. Now, I may not be able to afford her is the problem.
Is she geek at all? Could we ever have her on the show and talk about that?
I don't know. They're inviting you on the show. So
she doesn't have to come right now, okay. But yeah.
Did you hear that? She says after she graduates, so she has time. But she very happy with her Samsung Galaxy Note 2 phone, so she really likes that, so.
Oh, that's cool. We, you know, my kids are all artists in some form or fashion and do this kind of stuff. And you'd think I'd be able to get a decent logo out of one of them. I can't. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So
tell them to make it one of their school projects.
I know.
Turn it in for homework.
I've used that and it didn't work. One of my goals for 2014 is to get a few more gals on the podcast. So we'll have to see if we can maybe get her a tech art segment of some kind where she can come in and talk about art and tech together. That's another good. That's maybe another good show thing to do for. You know, I've been looking for topics for home tech. We got gaming tech and music tech coming up. Maybe we need to do an art tech segment coming up as well. Other Jim in the chat said, my 12-year-old overheard a part of this podcast and just added this stick to his Christmas list.
Darn you all.
Yeah. Darn you all. Yeah, it's expensive. We're not as bad as BYOB. No. But maybe we'll sell a few. For $70, not a bad, I think not a bad deal. So. Very cool. Well, guys, we plan to go a little under an hour, and we're at the under an hour break. I will throw it to you one more time, Kyle. Anything else we didn't cover, or anything you want to talk about when it comes to this little stick?
No, just pretty much I think we've covered it. Going to try to do some more testing on media streaming, and then after I do that, I'm going to pass it on to my brothers and see what they think. So
yeah, very cool. Well, you'll hang around, and you'll keep us posted on how the kids do with,
yep,
with, the, with yeah. the stick.
I think this brings back some of the fun, and you know, makes me think of the early days when you're going the DOS or maybe into Windows for the first time and the fun. So what, one of the things that keeps me going back and trying Linux all the time, because yeah, to me at least it's complicated and a challenge, and it's fun though. And it sounds what this is. For $70, you get this little stick to play with, and it's fun to play with.
Yep, and that's yeah. what the inspiration with the Raspberry Pi was too. And this is yeah. just kind of a alternative to that idea. As right. here's a gadget, and you can play with it. And this one comes a little bit more in one piece than buying a Raspberry Pi. So
plus, yeah. to say that you have that little thing and it's a computer running something is cool too.
Yep.
Yeah, it's got some interesting, you know, I think you could look at it, and there's, you know, there's a lot of cool things you can do that are done in other ways, right? You can get a tablet or a phone, and you can do those kind of things. I think the goal, I think the hacker community is what's good, and to come up with new uses for those platforms, and this is an inexpensive way to get the platform out there to get it running. So I do like the idea, you know, you can get, it is half the price of a Chromebook, and so if you could hack, or if you could use it in its current form, and in the your younger siblings could get it running, and they've already maybe already got a monitor or something along those lines. Sometimes that's, oh, I was going to mention, Kyle, it's funny. I had five kids, and for a while, the three oldest all shared a computer for a while as well. And actually, I still have that computer. Those kids hacked on that thing, something fierce. And it's sitting down. I'm having a hard time getting rid of it because we had it for so long. But it's like a P4, and it had, I think, I don't know, half a gig of RAM on or something back in the day, 512 megs, and not a very big hard drive. And man, we put a timer on there because they all get an hour a day, because they'd fight over it if they, you know, yep. if they didn't otherwise. And that actually drove them to when they started doing summer jobs. First of all, it drove them to work because they wanted to have their own money so they could buy their own computer. Because I told them, if you buy your own, I'll take the timer off. You won't be limited, right? I'm not going to limit you if you buy your own computer, right? And so, man, they got super motivated. And all three of them, my oldest didn't do this, but the three other ones all worked summer jobs and bought their own big, huge, honking gaming rigs. And it was one of the few parenting decisions I think I actually got right. You know, one of those things that it actually worked. They owned it. They had a sense of ownership in it, and really gave them some opportunity. You know, they bought and put together their computers. I helped them very, very little in the process. And so it was a great experience for them. So that worked for me. It doesn't work for every family, but that worked for me. So, Kyle, appreciate you coming out tonight, sharing that story with us. Again, we're here early on a Sunday evening. This is kind of out of order. I'm going to be out of town this week, and it worked out for your schedule and for mine to sit down and talk about this TronSmart MK908. I think I got that number right. And Mike, thanks for jumping in the last minute. I literally gave you 1 minute of notice on this podcast. Kyle was coming in. He's like, so what are we going to talk about? I'm like, you know, I better get Mike Howard.
And, you know, that's what you typically do. So a minute, 2 minutes. Sometimes I get a whole half hour.
Yeah, but you're always good. You know, I'm good for that, too. You know, I've jumped on your show with a few minutes.
Well, it pretty much means you and I do nothing else but sit here and work on our computers.
That's very, very true. I spend way too much time here. But so, Kyle, thanks for coming out tonight. Mike, thanks for coming out. I'll remind folks, as I do at the end of every show, if you want to find an easy way to listen to the podcast, we have a couple easy ways to do it. Now, one is Stitcher, available on both the Android and iPhone platforms. It's a great way to listen to the podcast both at home and on the road. And I find that's the only time I listen to podcasts now is on the road. And if you're not taking advantage of your road time, sometimes I wish my commute was just a little bit longer so I could listen to the podcast. That is the way I consume them. And you can do that on Stitcher completely streaming, which means you don't have to waste any of your phone memory that's in there. Stitcher.com, search Home Tech. Actually, we have links over at theaverageguy.tv as well. Recently, Home Tech made it into iHeartRadio. It's a U.S. only streaming option, but if you're already there at the iHeartRadio app, you can add us and get the podcast there at iHeartRadio. We're available on Podomatic. We're available on Stitcher. We're now on Audioboo, which actually, Mike, I got a tweet from Audioboo today. I sent out a note, hey, I posted the podcast on Audioboo out to my Twitter folks, and they retweeted it, and I'm like, oh, great, I'm going to get a bunch of, you know, well, they only have 61 people following them.
Audioboo itself only has 61.
Audio Audioboo America. Yeah, the America division of Audioboo only has, you know, they started with a different business model, and now they're trying to get into podcast hosting and approached me about featuring my show on Audioboo. I get, you know, anywhere from 5 to 50 plays on each one of the shows, and it's a place to be, but Audio, just like it sounds, audioboo.fm, and you can check them out. They're trying to play in that same space as well. We also have, you can view and subscribe to the show on YouTube. Just go out to theaverageguy.tv/YouTube. I'm on a race with Mike Howard to see who can get to 1,000 subscribers, and I'm way behind. So if you haven't subscribed to us on YouTube, head out there, theaverageguy.tv/YouTube. YouTube is I was going to say they're horrible, but they don't spam you at all. I mean, you never know when anybody's posted anything at YouTube. So you will not get spammed, but help me beat Mike Howard to 1,000. Go out there and subscribe to The Average Guy on YouTube.
So you can also race. Oh,
well, not right now. It's not. You're cleaning house on me. You've got a few more to go to 1,000, and I think I have a few more to go to 1,000. So we'll get out there as well. You can catch the show each week live. Normally, we are on Thursday nights. Kyle, watch hitting your microphone there. I'm hearing you. At 8 p.m. Central over at theaverageguy.tv/live. Don't forget, we have groups on both Facebook. That's just theaverageguy.tv/Facebook and Google Plus, which is theaverageguy.tv/Google. And don't forget to use the Amazon link. And this is why, because Kyle got a chance to test this thing out and bring it back to the community. Because you, the listener, use the Amazon link. So head over to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon every time you purchase from there. Doesn't cost you anymore, but we make a 4, 5, 6% commission on each one of those purchases you make. Actually, I had somebody buy a bunch of hard drives today, and it made the site like $20. So appreciate that. We roll those into these tech scholarship funds. And I just bought Brad an Alesis Multimix 4 that he will be. So if you're into podcasting or you're thinking about podcasting, this is a mixer that you could use as a portable podcasting device or even in your home studio. It is home tech, and Brad's going to check that. I just ordered it this weekend and shipped it out to him. $79. The link will be for that if you want to check it out. It's over at The Average Guy. TV as well. All right, guys, thanks for doing it on Sunday. I'll be back a week from this Thursday coming up. If you're listening to this recorded, at that time has probably already passed. But we thank you for listening to the show. Thanks for your emails as well. Have a great evening. Good night, everybody.